thank you for listening
to... Are you bobbing your head?
I like the music.
Okay, well, here.
All right.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Committed to Christ podcast. It's Wumber outside. Half summer, half winter. I decided to come up with Wumber.
Listen, I am a summer person. Today was beautiful. I don't like the short days, and I just don't like fall.
I know. It's that time of year where the time change just happened a couple days ago.
I don't understand how all these people can get so, I love jello. I just love the fall. I'm thinking, okay, there's something really wrong with you.
You don't like that, do you?
No, I don't.
And you're pretty serious.
I like
that.
The warm, long summer, sunny days.
Yeah, I do miss that with the sun staying up till or out till like 10 o'clock.
That's right. I'm solar powered, man. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
All right, so I need extra Jesus.
Yeah. You don't know what to wear? Because you can wear shorts and a t-shirt during the day, but at nighttime, it's like...
You get up and you want to put...
a hoodie.
Yes. I'm so confused.
My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one thing to not be confused about is this week we are going to be traveling to Missouri.
We are.
To see some friends of ours that we haven't seen in a while, to discuss some ministry things.
Yes.
That can only have good outcome. So we're looking forward to doing that. I'm looking forward to going on a road trip with you.
I know. It's
going to
be fun.
It is. And one of the best parts about this road trip is we're going to stop to Bucky's.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say we got this really big thermos for coffee.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. Yeah, we have that too. You know, it's funny. The more we travel, the more we're kind of accessorizing to help accommodate with that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Because I know we always say we wish we had a thermos with us with our own coffee.
Yeah, because you
usually you're in the middle of nowhere.
You can sometimes get good coffee, but a lot of times you go in and it's been sitting there for
So
hours.
We got a thermos.
That's right.
And we're going to brew a pot of coffee. Yeah. And I'm figuring the Kelly to Greg ratio is probably going to be
have
like...
a little coffee with Kelly.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like 10 to 1. Yeah.
I tried to get the biggest thermos I could find.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It'll be fun.
It will be.
It'll be fun. Just, yeah. So anyway.
So we're getting ready to almost finish out my favorite book of the Bible.
Yeah.
Also, really, this book is, there's just so much in it.
It really is. And I noticed that our listening has increased, especially since we've been doing the book of Romans. And I think a lot of people, as Christians, I mean, the book of Romans teaches us how to live for
it
God
does.
Every day.
And it never gets old, because I've been a Christian a really long time. And just reading the first couple of verses here, conviction from God, you know, like just to keep yourself in check all the time.
You're still learning? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think I'll ever.
You haven't arrived.
No, just when I think that I have. Something happens and it's like, oh, man, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
We all need his grace, right?
That's exactly right. Well, we are going to be in Romans chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles or mobile device and you would like to follow along, we would welcome you to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and get started here, if that's all right with you. All right. So Romans chapter 15, verse 1, this is Paul saying, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me."
Hey, can I stop you
there?
Yeah,
go right
ahead. Because when you read that, so this makes me think about how I need to be more patient with people. You know, in certain situations, I'm great, but then there are other times where I get really impatient. And when you read that, you know, Paul is saying, hey, you know, you need to be more, what did Jesus do? I mean, he was God and he had patience with people.
Right.
And we're supposed to pattern ourselves after him. So, yeah.
Well, he's telling us as the mature believers to be patient with the less mature believers, because they're new in Christ. And it's our job to encourage them, to teach them, to help them to grow in Jesus.
Right, and to not get frustrated.
Exactly.
Try to fix them.
Right. So verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So there's a reason that we should go and read the scriptures.
Right.
It helps us to have more hope. Okay, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants all believers to be on the same page.
Something that God has been doing this week in my life, and I can read this and relate to it, is I've been kind of struggling. And yesterday I went to a Bible study last night, and then I had a couple of texts from some people today. And God is just like, hey, there's a lot going on in your life. There's a lot going on in everyone's life. But remember what your focus should be. You know, it's all about, hey, I'm coming back. God's coming back. We shouldn't be distracted. We shouldn't be, you know, and so he's had me realize that so that I can encourage other people when they, you know, I'm really struggling. It's like, man, you can't stop. You got to keep pushing forward. God's coming back,
exactly.
You know? So yeah, and then we're all together.
All right. So verse 7 says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Now, we're going to get into Paul quoting a few scriptures here, okay?
Okay.
So it says, as it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. And again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is telling us there that God all along had the Gentiles in mind, right? He's coming after the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And then that little last section there is kind of like a prayer request, but when he said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him.
Right.
So as you grow in Christ and you do trust in him, he will fill you with joy and peace. Verse 14 says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. That's our job as believers. All right, we should instruct one another.
And here's Paul being an encourager.
And instructing
us. I'm confident,
us.
Yes, I'm confident that you have the knowledge and the
abilities,
right.
Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've read up on this morning. This is in Acts chapter 9, verses 15, where Paul was on his way to Damascus. God struck him down. He was blind. And then he gave Ananias a vision,
right,
to go talk to, or he told Ananias to go talk to Paul. And he showed Paul in a vision that a man named Ananias was going to come to him and pray for him. And when he told Ananias, he says, I am going to send Paul to the Gentiles, and I'm also going to show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. Paul was called by God to take the gospel to the Gentiles and also to teach us how to live for Christ daily.
And he was an amazing example.
Sure. Absolutely. And the thing is, Paul didn't have a teacher.
It was God.
Right. Yeah. The Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, revealed these things to Paul. So
this is what I want you to do. Yeah, that's who God is.
All right, verse 17. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Iconium, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. So that is the whole gospel mission, to take it to places where nobody has ever heard about Jesus.
God doesn't want us to be popular. He doesn't want us to be a mega person. He wants us to speak his word.
Because people will start following
you,
us, yeah,
right?
And not the Lord.
And that's not what it's about. And that's the problem that he ran into. And that's why he was smart in doing that. It's not about him. It's about God. You know, and that's what, when you go to somewhere that nobody knows you, it's about God.
Absolutely. Okay, closing this out now. Verse 23, but now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. From Macedonia and Achaia, we're pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them in their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. So there's one more chapter left in Romans. It's 16, but you can see by these last few paragraphs here, Paul is starting to close out his letter.
Right.
He's sharing with the Romans his plans, where he wants to travel. And I did a little more research on this, and there's no real proof that he ever made it to Spain, because he was arrested and then beheaded under Nero. But his plan was to go to Spain to preach the gospel there, to keep moving forward.
Right.
He didn't ever have any plans to retire. And then after that, he was going to Jerusalem, because there were Gentiles that gave Paul a gift. It was probably money, I would imagine. I don't know. And he was going to take it there and give it to the Jews. And what an awesome thing, because that signifies gratitude from Gentiles. We're saved. Your Messiah saved us, and we owe you something for that.
Right. And that's, you know, it's kind of funny. I think that that is maybe the way a lot of Christians feel now toward Israel.
Yeah, with everything going on.
Yes, we owe them.
Right.
You know, that we do. I mean, that they are God's chosen people, and we owe it to them a lot of things. We owe it to them to pray for them so that they receive Jesus as our Savior. You know, if they don't believe in the Messiah, that God reveals himself.
And we're seeing all kinds of prophecy, you know, we're seeing it now.
Right.
You turn on the news and you can see it.
Yeah.
All these countries, nations, people protesting all over the world against Israel. That's all prophetic. And it's ultimately going to come to the place where they're going to cry out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they're going to see him as their Lord and Savior and Messiah. And that's when things are going to get real. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be awesome stuff. So the book of Romans coming to a close. So I mean,
it's been a great book.
It
and
has
I could go
been.
Back and kind of, let's start over.
I know.
You know, go back and listen to it again. There's so much in this book.
It is. And Romans 16 is going to be up next. We're just going to maybe kind of paraphrase that a little bit, because Paul's just given some greetings to a lot of people that shared in his ministry. So anyway, God bless you guys. And next podcast, we'll give you a report of how things went in Missouri. So,
all right.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. We love you.